You are listening to a podcast from West Hill United Church, located in Scarborough, Ontario, Canada. These podcasts are made possible by the generous support of our listeners, volunteers, and members of our community. To donate, go to our website, www.westhill.net, and click on the Canada Helps button, or go to westhill.net/donate.
I'm only doing it for a few minutes, I can manage. As long as it stays put. Yeah, go sit down. Okay. I don't want it to collapse. Good morning. And we'll say it once to all of you, and you can shout it all to everybody else. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We wish to acknowledge that we are on the traditional territory of the Mississaugas of the New Credit First Nations lands, which lands were previously occupied by the Seneca and Huron-Wendat First Nations. Truth and Reconciliation. Each week, in order to remain aware of our treaty obligations and the relationship we have with our First Nation sisters and brothers, we read one of the 94 recommendations sent to all levels of government by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. We expect to complete these readings in June 2017. Recommendation number 70. We call upon the federal government to provide funding to the Canadian Association of Archivists to undertake, in collaboration with Aboriginal peoples, a national review of archival policies and best practices to 1. Determine the level of compliance with the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples and the United Nations Joint Alienable Right to Know the Truth about what happened and why with regard to human rights violations committed against them in residential schools. This is something which you can find on the CAROS website. It is the fact that there cannot be impunity when you deprive people of their human rights. And number 2, produce a report with recommendations for full implementation of these international mechanisms as a reconciliation framework for Canadian archives.
Grounded, Guided, Growing, A Time for Centering, from Scott Kearns.
Last night, Greta had gone to bed early, being older and not able to stay up. And I was doing some work still downstairs. And at midnight, I didn't really pay attention to what time it was, but I heard some fireworks going on, so I thought that was midnight. So I emailed her. But that's not what I want to tell you. I was on the news at the time, looking at the news and thinking of New Year, and not about resolution so much, just as launching into a new, it's just a new number, it's just another day and that sort of thing. But with all that is happening and all that people are wondering about what's going to happen, again, it just reminded me, you could float in that chaos, wildly floundering. And so what we talk about here is grounding. What do we ground ourselves in? And then I thought, that is the life we ground ourselves in, that the mixture of beauty and chaos and help and harm all around us, with eyes open as we can make them, to look and see and find ourselves in that life. And that does not mean we would naturally choose love. It has to be a choice. And over again, we, through song, through word, through ceremony, this place gives me that reminder to live in that life as lovingly as I can, with myself, with you, with people I'll never meet, and with this planet. And, you know, those of you that remind me of your choices, sometimes I don't like hearing them because they remind me I'm not doing that or I'm not thinking that way. But keep reminding me, keep saying what you do, and I'll keep sharing so that together we grow in wisdom for living this life. So I'm just going to play I'm going to bring in a little song that I've already played a little bit of, just to remind us of this new year. But just, it's another day to ground ourselves in life. Choose love and grow together in wisdom.
Thank you.
truth, justice, and peace. Both words of deed you can offer, filling a need with hope and comfort. Beauty is in the giving. Beautiful gift of love. Bring a word of care and compassion. Bring a word of truth, justice, and peace. Worth the struggle and worthy of passion. Goodness for all, for you.
Our first reading this morning is from Libba Bray. In each of us lie good and bad, light and dark, art and pain, choice and regret, cruelty and sacrifice. We are each of us our own chiaroscuro, which is that play of light and dark which gives depth in art. Our own bit of illusion fighting something to emerge into something solid, something real. We've got to forgive ourselves that. I must remember to forgive myself. Because there is a lot of gray to work with. No one can live in the light all the time. And our second reading is from Neil Chesterman and the book Challenger Deep. Centering, however, is easier said than done. This I learned from a ceramics class I once took. The teacher made throwing a pot look easy. But the thing is, it takes lots of precision and skill. You slam the ball of clay down in the absolute center of the pottery wheel. And with steady hands, you push your thumb into the middle of it, spreading it wider, a fraction of an inch at a time. But every single time I tried to do it, I only got so far before my pot warped out of balance. And every attempt to fix it just made it worse, until the lip shredded, the sides collapsed, and I was left with what the teacher called a mystery ashtray, which got hurled back into the clay bucket. So what happens when your universe begins to get off balance? And you don't have any experience with bringing it back to center? All you can do is fight a losing battle, waiting for those walls to collapse and your life to become one huge mystery ashtray, offered as wisdom for the journey.
We walk in its light.
Okay, I'll leave it up for now.
Focused Moments from Greta Vosper.
Today, we're going to reprise the seven pools, which we used at the end of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission's work back in 2015. It's a piece that I've brought together from the work of a fiction writer, Carol Berg, her book Soul Weaver. The story of the seven pools unfolds in a fictional tale in which the prince of a fictional country must undergo a purification rite because he has slain one of his own people. Although, so the story goes, the pools had existed since the beginning of time, it was within living memory that a wise elder of the people had recognized the benefits of immersing oneself in the peculiar pools in a particular order, and the rite of purification was created.
One.
No, you're not counting now, you're reading.
Okay. Life of all things was to the people in the story as it is to us, the most precious. Throughout, we all experience the events of our lives as triggers for different emotions. Although falling along a continuum, our emotional responses seem to fall into the categories we easily recognize, despite the diversity of the events creating them. We sometimes speak of these categories as glad, sad, mad, and frad, and they frighten us. Glad, sad, mad, frad. They are the basic reactions we have to the many, many experiences we have in a day. Over the course of a lifetime, we live out innumerable moments and respond to most of them with one or another of these four deceptively simple emotional categories.
The rite of purification was introduced in the story to restore balance in lives skewed as far as to the damage of things, skewed so far as to the damage of things loved most. In particular, it addressed the one emotion that we often overlook or bury deep within us, guilt. Any one of the billions of events in our lives, any one of the four more easily acknowledged emotions can trigger guilt, but we rarely deal with it openly. Or we have dealt with it by creating scapegoats that supposedly take our guilt away.
When in the story the seven pools were first found to provide such extraordinary healing, the pools were used often, a way to move through the devastation of guilt, an emotion, a reality so much more difficult to deal with than any others. Whenever a life was taken, the individual who had compromised his or her pledge to hold life sacred would move through the pools and find relief from their burden. Over the years, as killing became more frequent and death was ordered strategically on a wider and larger scale, fewer and fewer people took the time to find their way back to balance through the mystery of the pools. Finally, only the prince, the heir to the throne, was required to undergo the ritual. The guilt of a nation dripped from his hands as he dove into the first pool to free himself from the burden of thousands upon thousands of deaths.
A ritual cannot cleanse us of our guilt, but it can help us to face it. And that, for me, is significance enough. A guilt faced is a guilt far less likely to continue to do damage to the one originally wounded or the one carrying the burden of grief. The ritual of the seven pools offered that fictional people a way past the tragedy of taking life for one's own purposes. These seven bowls, representative of the story's seven pools, offer us a way past the tragedies we have created, that in the same way as in the story, have allowed us to take the lives of others and turn them to our own purposes.
We first used this ritual at the conclusion of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission's work when they presented their 94 recommendations to governments across Canada. We use it today to mark the beginning of a new year and to invite ourselves to step into it fully aware of who we are, balanced, and ready to embrace life fully. May our wandering today find us in a place of strength and a place of humility. A place of loss and a place of gift, a place of endings and a place of possibilities.
Does everyone have three pebbles? Did anyone not have any? Okay, there's a bowl of pebbles right on the door that you would have walked past as you came in. Perhaps Mayu, could I ask you to take the bowl and share three pebbles with each person who has missed it?
Is that reader two again? That's me again.
Hang on a second till everyone gets there.
Because it's reader two there. You'll have to nudge me when I start to count.
Everyone can hear you.
I know, it's okay.
Okay, I think everyone has them.
You'll see you nudge me too.
Okay.
In the story of the seven pools, each in its own cavern, each cavern linked to the last, the prince must remain beneath the surface of the water for at least the count of 100. In fiction, all things are possible, and he is able to hold his breath beneath the waters for many, many more counts than that. But counting to 100 reminds us that we must not leave our feelings too quickly. We cannot do this work unless we are intentional about it. This is a ritual. More work may be needed. But here, we symbolically enter it, work our way through, come out, everything happening to the count of 100. Our roots are in the water. It held our primordial origins. Knowing this perhaps lessens the surprise of our coming into life in the waters of the womb, often expelled from it only after the water has gushed forth from a mother's body. Of water we are made, through water we are born, by water we are sustained.
As we move through the ritual, I'll invite you to move. I want you to hold all your pebbles in one hand, and I'll invite you to move them as part of the ritual to the other hand throughout the readings. At the end of the ritual, I'll invite you to come forward to bring your pebbles to the table, and I'll have you come out from the side aisles and bring them. You can put them in the pools, you can put them on the table, you don't have to come down. You can keep them in your hand, you can do whatever you like with them, but that will be sort of the end of the ritual.
You're reading that.
No, you're going to go and sit down and count. As Elaine mentioned, the prince had to stay under the water to the count of 100 and actually stay there much longer, but we're going to pay attention to that 100. Elaine is going to count to 100 as we begin our pools. You know where to start? No, not yet. I think you need a copy of your piece.
I need a signal.
The first pool, if you can bring up the next slide, Peter, accounts.
Two.
Not yet, please. just start here.
We need a dress rehearsal.
You are the sole person who can carry the reality of your past into the seven pools in search of restoration of those things we hold sacred. Each year has welcomed you through the whole of your life, a pristine unknown. A perfect possibility, a moment that has never been seen before. And you have stepped into it each new year, embraced those possibilities, squandered others, and made your way to the next new year. Today, as we stand here on its first day, we step back into the beginning, and make our way forward to the newness of this moment. Part of the ritual is having someone, a companion, with you during the process. So I want you to think of someone in your mind and hold them with you throughout. And then with that person holding vigil, you're going to plunge into the first pool.
One, two.
Oh, you weren't expecting that.
Three,
searing,
four,
scalding
five,
torment.
Six.
You would have screamed, but the water is already well over your head.
Nine,
you fight
ten,
for the surface, but you've plunged 11, so deep,
12,
your feet drag
13,
you lower
14,
as if they are made of lead.
15, 16,
it feels as though your flesh will be boiled
17,
away before you
18,
ever reach the air again.
19, 20,
but your companion's muffled voice comes to you, reminding you that another watches and waits, ensuring you are safe. Your chest is on fire, and you're certain you will never make the count of 100.
30,
the light green circle at the top of the pool beckons, and you begin to swim upwards. There's nothing here, no magic, no powerful cleansing, nothing. You're close to the top of the pool, almost part of the circle of light.
40,
and then,
41, 42,
with your lungs strained to bursting, as you stretch out your hand in a last
46,
pull for the surface,
47,
the water around it swirls red.
50,
as if you are
51,
bleeding.
52, 53,
the pool is pulling
54,
from you the stories of broken
56,
commitments,
57,
refusals to see, policies. What?
60,
policies.
61,
policies of governments that represent
63,
you, but that yet work against the less privileged and prejudicial ways.
66,
complicities and tragedies you never witnessed, but that simply by the fact of your being human in this place at this time amid these privileges have your name carved upon them.
74.
In horror and disgust, you thrash the blood away only to have more of it leak out of you.
78.
Soon, blood flows from your every pore, from hands and arms and legs, from your eyes, your ears, your nose, from under your fingernails. You witness wrong seeping out of your own heart.
89. 90.
You do not hear the count pass 100. You do not know when you began to use the scalding water to fill your need instead of air. You are preoccupied with the darkness that exudes from your flesh. So much blood. You are the representative of a people who have so much blood on their hands, under their feet, in the layers of their skin. At the bottom of the pool, moss-covered boulders of all sizes lie in a jumble, radiating heat like a blacksmith's furnace. Soul-sick, weeping, scalding tears, you huddle in the dark, mossy depth, and pray the pool of accounts will boil the blood away. Time passes, still you weep. More time, and your companion motions to you to find your way out. You rise. The waters through which you swim are now clean and clear as you rise and are helped from the pool. I invite you to pass one pebble from your hand to the other. The second pool, truth. You sink into a blue-white sculpture garden. Twisted, frozen flowers, trees, gargoyles, every fancy of a demented artist who worked in ice rather than stone. Why did they call this the pool of truth? Pool of ice might be better. Pool of madness, pool of breathless folly. Your head is splitting with the cold. You're desperate for breath, your chest rigid, constricted. But some things are worse than physical pain. Truth does lie waiting for you in the frigid depths. The faces of the people against whom your travesties have been committed. The faces of those from whom you turned away as they tried to tell you of the you they see, not the one you choose to know. Those whose understanding you stopped up by not speaking, not sharing of yourself. Of every child removed from a hunting or fishing camp, their children and their children's children still waiting for healing to begin. Of those two young faces looking too old to survive the bitter cold, wrapped in donated blankets, and who reached out to you for a few coins tucked too far into your pocket to conveniently appear. Of those parents whose children sewed your bra, your shirt, your shoes, extra things you didn't need but that called to you with their bargain prices. Those lost in the climate tragedies of our oil-hungry lifestyle, thrown into waves, starving in a creeping desert, or blasted from their homes in the indifferent turbulence of hurricanes and tornadoes as you ate and watched the evening news. Suspended in the frigid water, you drift from one person to the next and touch their cold faces, drowned in guilt and shame and grief. How long you face your accusers, you cannot say. Long enough that your heart beats with the ponderous pace of a funeral dirge, and the blood in your veins is surely turned to slush. Your extremities are dead, your face numb, your heart a lump of ice in your breast. And when the cold and the guilt and the grief become unbearable, you reach your hand above the surface. You can feel neither the hands that help you out nor the robe that is placed over your shoulders. I invite you to move one pebble again over to the other hand. The third pool, isolation. The black waters of the pool of isolation are perfectly still, swathed in dark shadows. You do not fear it. Darkness is exactly what you need after the images of truth that accosted your sight. You hope that it will blot them out, remove them from your vision. The water is thick like honey, and you embrace its warmth. It would be easy to make it to the 100 count, to force yourself to relinquish air and swallow the dark water. But as you sink into the depths of the pool, you lose yourself. Blind in the blackness, you quickly lose track of which was the surface and which way is the bottom. The thick water forms a barrier about you, preventing any part of you to touch any other part. You cannot feel where the water ends and where your skin begins. You feel as though you could easily be nothing but a loose mind, suspended in the emptiness of the universe before its creation, alone with yourself, your thoughts, your fear. Are other minds as distinct as this? After a time, set free from any physical containment, thoughts and memories float away.
65,
leaving only fear.
67, 68,
eventually fear too dissolves,
71,
and nothing at all remains.
73, 74,
do others feel as separate and still, as empty? Perhaps it is your total emptiness that allows you to float to the top at last. Gentle hands pull you out.
88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97.
And you can move your last pebble over into your other hand. The fourth pool, oblivion.
1, 2,
warm water swallows
3,
you.
4,
there are soft,
5,
slurping
6,
sounds.
7,
salt
8,
is on your lips
7,
and tongue.
8, 9,
you are immersed
10,
in the pool of oblivion.
11, 12, 13,
the burning you felt 12, at the pool of accounts is
15,
gone.
16,
the frozen faces
17,
that stared back at you in 8, the pool of truth have disappeared.
20,
the darkness 21, of isolation is far
22,
from you. The pool offers its gift. Oblivion.
25, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 8, 49. Like a motherless child, sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child a long way from home. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. And sometimes I feel, like I'm all alone. And I don't know why I cry for help but still feel alone, like a mother's child a long way from home. Lord, I'm lost, I can't find my way. I'm dealing with the struggles in my day to day. My soul is weak and I want to be strong. I try to run away but I've been running too long. I've been running too long. Shoulder when I need
to cry. I feel restless and I don't know why. I cry for help but still feel alone, like a motherless child a long way from home. Lord, I'm lost, I can't find my way. I'm dealing with the struggles in my day to day. My soul is weak and I want to be strong. Try to run away, but I've been running too long.
The fifth pool begins the journey back to wholeness, refreshment. You are exhausted, overwhelmed. Gentle words encourage you. Gentle hands guide you. This one will be better, they say. It is the pool of refreshment. You catch sight of greens, blues, purples, and silver being reflected from a pool of turbulent water, but you do not enter this pool. You fall. Just before you sink beneath the waves, the cold shock of the water forces you to inhale deeply. At first, you merely sink until you feel a tickle against your back. Twist and see a school of brilliant orange and red fish dart past your nose. A warm current bathes your legs and drags you deeper. The water is so, so clear. Water and light, swirling, teasing, caressing. Sucked into the deep vortex of a waterfall pool and swirled into blue-green depths, past smooth stones of purple and green, you see before you a lacework forest of sculpted stone and a garden of sea flowers, a thousand vivid colors. From a crack in the rocks at the bottom of the pool, a small geyser vents a pillar of bubbles that dance around you as you float in a hammock woven of lush bronze of water grass. The water that flows through you bears the tang of new wine and commands every nerve in your body to wake up and live. By the time you reach the farthest limit of this pool, you are swimming on your own, diving deep and rolling over like a dolphin just to feel the flow of the glorious water on your skin. You explore every crevice and eddy as you lazily paddle back to the beginning. There you arch your back and burst through the surface into the cascade, laughing aloud and blowing the water from your mouth in a fountain. You climb from the pool, truly refreshed and energized. You can take one of your pebbles and place it back in the original hand. The sixth pool, memory. Nothing really had you prepared for the pool of memory. Formidable looking, a thick yellow-green liquid oozes from its narrow basin, giving off an acrid yellow smoke that makes your eyes water. Your companion reassures you with the largest breath you can muster and the vague hope that your time in the pool will be brief. You step from the edge and drop into the mess. The heat is bearable. Vicious, but not as bad as the pool of reality. But whatever is in that water causes it to feel as though it's eating into your skin, stinging, spreading like acid in a wound. You do not want to spend your time there. We often don't. So you head toward the surface prematurely. On your way up, you realize that for the first time, and you have no idea how long, you remember who you are, who you really are. The last pool did awaken you and all your senses. You realize there may be patterns in your history that this pool may offer. You turn and move against your initial instincts into the depths. Why are you here? What will you find? The yellow sludge makes its way into you, through you, inside, outside, body and spirit. It reawakens the story of your life, where you were born, the arms that first embraced you, the people who welcomed and nurtured you, perhaps one or another parent, perhaps someone else. You, growing, moving, welcoming and being welcomed, loving and being loved, holding and being held, encouraging and being encouraged. In one instant, all that you have been is awake within you, joy, fear, sadness, anger. All that you have done is inside your skin. You feel it, good, bad, indifferent, more good. All that your accumulated moments have molded of you are awakened within you. Strength, empathy, curiosity, kindness, a willing spirit, the ability to be a friend and a good one, the joy of sharing with one another, the hurts you caused, the energy of creating and beholding what it is that has come from your own hands, your heart, your mind, the connections between all the people you have brought together, the courage you have learned through pain. Instinctively, you curl into a ball, floating there in that vile yellow stink, as if you are trying to contain it all or prevent its escape. Perhaps you're trying to protect yourself from the vast panorama of your life, but only the facts are there like consistent chronicles. No emotionally overwhelming responses, simply the truth of your cumulative moments, the story of who you are. You can transfer a pebble back. There has been a pulse to the pool of memory. You heard it when you first entered, but it is becoming clearer now. It comes from somewhere in its depths, faint when you first entered, but growing in strength as you reach and strain to find your way out. The pulse draws you in a direction every instinct tells you is the wrong way, not toward the top of the pool, but further into it, deeper. You begin to panic. You really want to go that way, not this way. The pulse is louder now, thrashing and struggling against the pull, opening your eyes to a dark blotch on a scaly yellow shelf of rock. Your body is screaming for air, but you force yourself to keep drawing the water into you. The blotch gets larger, closer, a swirling vortex and a bottomless black center. You cannot hold back from it, and inexorably, the sluggish whirlpool sweeps you into its dark nexus, your head and feet in a tangle. Some dense, fibrous, elastic material settles about your flailing limbs, squeezing tighter and tighter until even the turgid yellow of the pool is lost in darkness. The pulsing continues, squeezing the yellow stuff from your body, leaving you with nothing at all to breathe.
One, two,
in a single,
three,
stifling,
four,
choking
five,
instant of blind
six,
terror and despair,
seven,
you are shot
eight,
into a pool of cold, sparkling crystal water.
12,
with your
13,
first gulp of the
14,
waters of rebirth 15, come the emotions we
16,
too often hide from,
17,
love,
18,
loneliness,
19,
grief,
20,
joy,
22,
so much joy you have felt in your life, anger too, even as fury, the ache of betrayal,
30,
hatred,
31,
fear,
32,
joy again,
33,
more grief, the companionable
36,
reality of comfort, the inquisitiveness of your curiosity.
40,
the gift of the pool allows you to take in what life has been for you and to see it in perspective, against the glorious backdrop of the universe, accepting and savoring the good and bad alike. To view life without blinders can be difficult and fraught with pain, for you are left with no possibility of self-deception. But from the seeing comes our power. All these come back to you in balance, all as it should be, neither twisted nor repressed, no one overwhelming the rest. You are able to see your life as it must be for you to move confidently through the world, accepting what has been given to you, accepting what has been given by you. Weaving out of both the good and the bad, you foresee a future that allows dignity to be restored, right relations to be created, life to flourish within yourself, between you and others, between you and the world, between you and the seventh generation who will walk upon a world we create. You float face down on the cool, gentle swells of the pool, like flotsam in the tide, letting them carry you at will, forward and back, having no strength left to do otherwise and no desire. After a while, your toe scrapes against the rock at the edge of the pool, and you drag yourself out, exhausted but free, on the pebbled shore. You can move your pebble back to the other hand. Of water we are made, through water we are born, by water we are sustained. As we welcome the balance that life might offer us, may we in balance respond to it and move into this new year with all our past owned and held and all our future possibilities we might yet reach to hold. I invite you to move from the seats to the sides and come forward and do what you will with your pebbles, and Elaine and I will meet you at the end when you come out through the center aisle.
You have been listening to a podcast from West Hill United Church located in Scarborough, Ontario, Canada. These podcasts are made possible by the generous support of our listeners, volunteers, and members of our community. To donate, go to our website, www.westhill.net, and click on the Canada Helps button, or go to www.westhill.net/donate.